All right. The time is...
Oh, my God.
Yes, yes, Mac.
Oh, sorry. I was just coming off of this drunk.
The time is 6 o'clock. Thank you very much to Rush for another edition of Around the Town Sounds. You are listening to KOOP, Hornsby, Austin. The Mascot Wedding Show is coming up right after from their album Wicked Will. This is The Ants. This is Excuse. Mascot Wedding Show starts soon.
I can't believe you keep coming round when it's so clear.
All right. Now, ladies.
Nope.
That's the wrong song. The time is 6:03 in the p.m. You are still listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin, 91.7 on your FM dial or online worldwide at KOOP.org. This is the Mascot Wedding Show, radio's hour of unspeakable power. My name is David Hotta.
And my name is Mac Blake. This is the show where we open the phone lines to the community. Anytime you want to call in and be a part of today's conversation, please do. The phone number is 472-5667. If you still got letters on your phone, it's 472-K-O-O-P. You may also tweet at us anytime during the show. We are at Mascot Wedding. You tweet it, I will see it and read it. Anything said on this show is just the opinion of the person that said it, nobody else.
Yeah, we just heard the Ants from their Wicked Will album. That was Excuse. I saw them at South by Southwest, probably one of my favorite shows of the entire festival. Take that, festival.
I also wanted to see the Ants, did not get around to it. Yeah. So if we could mind meld later,
ooh,
and I could get that experience from your brain as you experienced it.
We could do like a Minority Report, where I as a minority can report it to you.
Look, why can't Apple just make a hive mind already? We'll hook up our brains to it and just share stuff.
I feel like that's coming soon.
But you stay out of certain parts of my brain, okay?
Nope. I'm getting into all of it. I'm getting into your weird elementary school stories.
How are you, David?
I'm good. I'm pretty great, actually. I just ate a bag of sour gummy bears or sour gummy lifesavers. My stomach hurts a little bit, but it's a good hurt. It's like that Saturday hurt, that freedom hurt.
Freedom hurt?
Yeah, you know. Like when the world is your oyster and you do whatever you want.
Oh, okay. Like when it's a late night and you're like, F it, I'm getting pluckers.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, freedom hurt.
Which has been like my last 2 weeks.
I call that my adult hurt.
Oh, okay. I call my adult hurt something else entirely.
Because it's like, I'm an adult. I do what I want. I get chicken wings.
Yeah. How are you, Mac Blake?
I am good. I just had to go buy a router, a new router. My Wi-Fi router, my old one, was not working.
My Wi-Fi?
I feel like I've had problems with it since I began, although I stacked the deck against myself.
Yes.
Because instead of a certain cable company, which I think we may talk about later.
I think so.
Instead of getting their cable box, I went with a TiVo. I do not speak on behalf of Co-op Radio or anyone but myself, but I love my TiVo.
Of course you do. That's fine.
However, it was a complete pain in the ass to set up.
Okay.
I never trust this router. I went to go buy a new router just now.
Mm.
So sick of that old one. I haven't even had it that long. And I walk in and I remember the Geek Squad comes up to me.
Okay.
I do have one regret from this story, and then I didn't belittle him for a little while.
Sure.
I feel like any adult with a t-shirt on or a collared shirt that says they're a member of the Geek Squad, I should be like, hey, geek, shut up.
Yeah.
And just do like, hey, you got something on your shirt? Uh-oh. And then poke him in the nose. You know what I'm saying?
And we all know you love berating employees of places.
Oh, I love it. And so this guy's got a choice of two routers, and he's like, well, I mean, I like this one. A coworker of mine would recommend this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, why would he recommend brand B over brand A?
Uh-huh.
He's like, well, he said that as a kid, you know, he used to have a lot of LAN parties, and he would use these routers, and they were fine.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, how does that help me?
Yeah.
Technology, of course, as we know, doesn't change at all. So I'm sure as a kid... How old is this person?
Well, all he's saying
is like, as a kid, he's a, well, I mean, I guess LAN parties, it's not Wi-Fi.
Right,
it's a
exactly.
Local area network.
You would plug in physically all of your friends. What he's saying is you and four of your friends could withstand an entire game of Duke Nukem together, and you'll be fine.
And I was like, well, why do you recommend brand A over brand B? And he's like, oh, because this company is the best.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, thanks for telling me about your friend's LAN party. Just recommend this one. Anyway, I got home, set it up in seconds.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it running smooth?
It is running smooth. It's purring like a jungle cat.
Not, okay.
I got that option, the one that makes sounds like a cat.
Don't do that.
Just plug in the router and it's like...
You know, routers run 24 hours. You're going to hear that in the middle of the night.
Oh, I love it. Keep me secure. Hey, folks, we got a really fun show planned today. We got a special guest we're going to introduce in a minute. However, if you're listening to this show on the podcast later, the M-Dubcast, as nobody calls it, and we will not. there's going to be an interview with Marvel Comics Editor-in-Chief Axel Alonso. And if you're listening to the show live, make sure you check it on the podcast because it was an interview I did with that dude over the phone, and it was a lot of fun. That's coming up at the end of this show.
And he's the villain in what comic?
He's not the villain. He's the editor-in-chief.
But his name is Axel Alonso.
Yeah, he also, in real life, fought the real-life Fantastic Four.
Okay.
Yes. Which, believe it or not, the real-life Fantastic Four is made up of Bill Gates, Steven Jackson from the San Antonio Spurs.
Captain Jack.
Okay, yeah, exactly. That's right. I think he's from Port A.
I think so.
Port Aransas, Texas. He's got a Texas tattoo on his arm, so you can tell he's a smart guy. Barbara Walters. And who is the Thing? I forget.
The Thing is Dom DeLuise.
Dom DeLuise.
God rest his soul.
God rest his soul. So... In fact, did Axel Alonso kill Dom DeLuise? I hope not.
No?
I hope not. He seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah.
We also have a very special in-studio guest. He's been on the show. Oh, boy, is this your fourth appearance?
Something like that.
You're like the Alec Baldwin, Steve Martin, John Goodman of the show.
Sure.
Ooh, we'll get you in the Five Timers Club pretty soon.
Oh, I don't know. Lindo and Jimena have also been frequent guests.
Oh, that's true.
You're like the dude carry Lindo.
Yeah,
anyway, he's been a frequent guest on the show. He is a mainstay in the Austin improv scene. You can see him every Saturday night performing along with his improv troupe, the award-winning Midnight Society, along with the Frank Mills at Cold Town Theater. Did I already say 10 p.m.?
You did again.
If I didn't, it's happening tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Lance Gilstrap.
Hey. Thank you.
Hey.
Welcome back to the show, Lance.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing all right.
Yeah, enjoying your... cool spring Saturday.
Having a cool spring Saturday. I'm a little tired.
Yeah?
Yeah. Having sleeping problems lately.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why.
You seem enthusiastic about it, though.
I'm trying to pretend like I haven't been having sleeping problems. Well. Fight it off.
Have you
Tip been... number one, don't admit that then you're having them.
What? What problems?
Okay.
Have you been going to bed late, or have you been going to bed early but going to sleep late?
I can't fall asleep. That's the problem.
Is it a matter of turning your brain off?
Yeah, that's totally it. And, you know, I blame myself because I've been playing Portal 2, a game that everybody played 2 years ago.
Sure.
And so I close my eyes and I just see a bunch of walls coming at me and I try to shoot them with my Portal gun.
Yep.
Oh, man, I used to do that when I played a lot of GoldenEye. Even when I was driving, I would just see things in that weird, like, smooth tunnel vision of the FPS world.
I was that way with Bomberman. I would just walk past walls and be like, I could put a bomb right here and just blow right through this wall.
I was like that with Grand Theft Auto Vice City,
where
I would just go into places and change clothes a lot. I know there was other parts of the game, but that's the one I like the most.
I was like that with Burger Time, where I'd walk into anywhere and go, time for burgers.
I was like that with Burger Time, where I would ask for eggs on my burgers all the time.
But eggs on a burger is great.
Yes, it's really
good. It's amazing.
I blame hipsters for that, by the way.
Why?
Blame hipsters. How would you blame your taste buds for agreeing that this is delicious?
I feel like you go to every restaurant now and these like hipsters look good. Put an egg on your burger.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a hipster
you're
thing.
You're shooting, spraying your, I don't know what I'm trying to say here. That thing.
Like, here's a duck egg.
All right, a duck egg, maybe.
By the way.
Wait, they bring their own egg to the burger place?
Yeah, they can't put this duck egg on a burger.
Yeah, I kept it in my pouch.
You guys, I went to this place last night. Flat Top was pretty good.
Oh, is it?
This guy was asking the person behind the counter. I'm telling tales out of school here.
Mm-hmm.
He was asking the guy behind the counter. He's like, what's the difference between this patty and the other patty? And the guy goes, I don't know. I'm a vegetarian. And I was like, you get the hell out. So vegetarian working at a burger place. No,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, that's uncouth. He's not allowed to speak on what he's selling.
They like stick him up front so you don't see how fat the cooks get eating that stuff.
Oh, man. Speaking of telling tales out of school, I'm not going to name names. I went to this restaurant the other day that specializes in vegan cuisine, let's call it. I feel if I say more than that, I might give it away. But it was a vegan restaurant, and everything on the menu was very, very healthy. But our waitress looked very unhealthy. And the thought crossed my mind that she should not be the face of this restaurant. Like, she was very pale. And she looked very sleepy. I was like, I need energy. Like, I need, like, a porterhouse or something. I don't want to look like you.
Was she covered in green fur and speaking to you out of a garbage can?
She absolutely was.
She might have been a grouch, David.
What? That's why.
Did she have a bunch of kids around her with garbage can hats?
She always, yeah.
Okay,
she.
Then yeah, that was a grouch.
But my food was brought to me by the letter G and the number 7.
Okay, where was this? This is dumb. Where was this restaurant located?
Oh, it was just on some street.
Okay. Sesame Street?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. That was a grouch, David.
Ah.
Yeah, that food is now cursed.
Crap. But now that this might answer a question I've always wondered. How was the waitress moving around?
I don't know.
She was sort of wobbling around.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There was holes maybe in the bottom of her trash can.
Yeah, exactly.
She would stick her legs through.
Yeah. Did he ever leave?
No, he was always there. But in the movie, you'd find him in different places.
Yeah. I would have to assume that his legs came out of the bottom of the can.
Well, by the way, was there ever a Beavis and Butthead style copycat for Oscar the Grouch? Was there some kid who's like, yay, Oscar, like open up a garbage can, it's just full of heroin needles or something. I'm going to find the Grouch. Ow, I'm sleepy.
Oh, man, that would be the saddest thing ever to see, though. Like, to see Oscar the Grouch climbing out of his trash can.
Yeah, you see his legs and they're human legs with boxers on.
If he was like one of these drag rats that hangs down around Guadalupe Street next to the University of Texas campus here.
Yes.
You'd see Oscar climb out of the garbage can and call his mom and be like, I'm sorry. She'd just come pick him up and take him back home.
Meet me at the Chipotle. I don't know why he sounded like that, but he did.
Oscar's like, I gotta get clean. Goes to rehab. I like this. Write this up. Dear Children's Television Workshop. You know what? Never mind.
So in this universe that you've built out, Oscar the Grouch is addicted to heroin.
He's got some sort of drug problem.
Okay.
That took him to the streets. To the streets. Maybe play a little Yeezy later in the show, maybe.
Maybe it's just like, ugh. Maybe it's just like,
ugh. How dare you? Yeezy will find out you said that.
Sure he will. Maybe it's just like party drugs. Maybe he just did too much X and never like properly hydrated.
Could be. I don't know.
Okay, good.
Ask your dumb waitress.
I will. All I will right. Ask my dumb waitress.
So, Lance, I'm sorry. How are you doing? You had sleeping problems?
I'm doing great. I've been sleeping fine.
My advice to you, get some sleep.
Oh, wait. I beat Portal yesterday, so I think I'll be doing lots of sleeping now.
Sure.
I've definitely stayed awake to finish video games.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's always been a game that has, much like Portal 2, came out years ago. And was always like, for example, I was dating a lady at the time, and our conversation turned to Sonic the Hedgehog. And this is, you know, 5 years ago, something like that. Mm-hmm. So obviously, Sonic the Hedgehog, been out for a while. And I was like, you know, I never beat Sonic the Hedgehog. And she's like, yeah, me neither. And we like looked at each other and then just like got the car and drove home as fast as possible to play it. She fell asleep. I beat it in the middle of the night and I almost woke her up.
Nice.
To be like, hey, I did it.
Did you tell her the next morning that you beat it?
I did. And then I had to watch her beat it. I think I told this on the radio show before because one of us got all the Chaos Emeralds. One of us didn't.
No, I feel like if you had told this on the radio, I would have made fun of you already.
Oh, yeah. You'd have threatened to beat me with a belt next time I nerd up the show.
Yep.
To an impossible degree.
But stay tuned if you're listening to the podcast for the interview with the Marvel Editor-in-Chief.
Yeah. He's not a nerd. He's cool.
I'm sure he is. His name's Axel.
I know he's a tough guy. He used to edit Preacher. 100 Bleeds work at Vertigo back in the day.
That makes him tough?
It does make him tough. Except the guy who writes Preacher's an Irishman. Ugh, boy.
So, all right. So Lance, what's next for you on the video game slate?
I was about to say something real racist against Irish people.
You were about
Here's
to?
What it's going
to
be. I was like, go dig a trench, Irishman.
Jesus. That's
got a Port Authority program. Whatever. Come after me, Mix.
472-5667.
472 KOOP.
Wow.
I can say that because I'm part Scottish, right?
I don't know.
You live the Scottish Rite?
No.
Mm.
I'm not a Freemason.
Where
a
is
lot
the...
of inside baseball going on here.
Is there?
Yeah.
All right. I want to tell a story.
Go for it.
Real quick about an experience I had the other day with, I'll name names, Time Warner Cable.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's right. I'm coming after them. I'm putting them on trial. So what happened was I came home Thursday afternoon from a long day of work. I was going to sit down and watch some television shows. Turn on my TV. There is no signal. There is something wrong with the connection between the TV and the box. This is the boring part of the story. Here comes the exciting part of the story. So I called Time Warner Cable. call their tech support. I'm like, hey, there's something wrong with my box. I know there is something wrong with my box because I've already replugged in different cables to different outlet outputs and inputs and that sort of thing. I know it's the box. It's not the TV. It's not the cables. But of course, the first thing they have to do is place blame on everything else. Like, well, did you turn your TV on? Are you not seeing a picture because your TV's off? I was like, no, my TV is on.
How did you work a phone but not work a TV?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, several times throughout this conversation because we made, you know, I walked through it again with him. Where it was like, it might be your HDMI cable. You might want to swap it out with another one. It's like, I am swapping now and it is not working. He goes, now, did you change the channel on your TV? Because if you used a different HDMI port, it's going to be on a different. I was like, I did. I did that. It's still the box. To which he says, well, you know what? We dance the dance for about 10 more minutes. And he goes, well, you know what? I think it might be your box. So here's what we're going to do. We can send you a new one out. You know, we can deliver it and have it there by Saturday. Or you could swing by the office and pick one up. Or some third option. That was stupid, too. So I said, all right, you're sending me a box. And here's the part of the story that I like to call, you got some nerve. Because they're sending me a box. And here, by the way, like, I don't mind. Cable boxes go out. That's fine. But this is my second one to go out in the past 4 months. And the last time it went out, I lost a lot of shows. And this time, I'm losing a lot of shows. It's not the worst problem in the world. It's a total first world problem. But still, like, I kept those on that box for a reason. Because I want to watch them because I paid for them. But he's sending me this new box. And he was like, hey, listen, while I got you on the phone, I think I could save you some money on this. I was like, nope, don't worry about it. And so he tries to upsell me. He tries to upsell me on like, hey, you can add digital phone for, you know, for the same amount. And then for 6 months later, you pay an extra $10. I was like, I don't want to do it. That's fine. To which he also says, okay, well, I'll send you the box. That's fine. I can also get you a free Cinemax and Showtime. I was like, no, I don't want any of this. I just want my box so I can watch TV. He goes, okay. So we're doing this whole thing. And then afterwards he goes, all right, so there's going to be a $5 charge to deliver it to you. And I said, no, there's not. This is where I put my foot down. Because normally I would be like, yes, sir, fine, there will be. But no, I was like, hey, your stupid box broke. You're not charging me to send me a box that is working. And we actually had to talk about this for a very long time. Longer than it should have taken. But I got my $5 waived. But still, like, you got some nerve. You're product is faulty and defective, and you're going to charge me to send me one that works for a service that I'm paying for? I did not care for it.
I feel like Time Warner Cable, the way they approach customer service is the way the U.S. and Russia approached the sort of nuclear standoff in the Cold War, where it was like the measure of acceptable deaths. It was like, well, you know, like mutually assured destruction. Like, we'll tell you what, if we launch these nukes, we'll lose this half of America, but that'll be all right.
Yes.
It's like, well, why don't you just try and piece it down? Like, nope, can't do that.
Right. They're basically pickup artists at this point. It's like, we're going to try to upsell everybody, and 90% of the people are going to say no thanks. But that 10% is going to be like, hey, you made a valid argument. I will buy your stuff. And it just, it irked me. It irked me a lot.
By the way, Katie Sicking tweeted at us, and she says, I am coming after you. Scottish is not the same thing. You know what? It's all the same thing.
Yeah, we're all God's children.
No, I was just going to say, it's just white people.
Oh, I was just going to say, we're all God's children.
Yep, we're all God's children. 472-5667. God's Children Radio. You ever had problems with your cable company, Lance?
Yeah, I recently canceled my cable, and they charged me to turn off the cable. And then when they turned off the cable, they also turned off my internet. And then they wanted to charge me to send the guy back out to turn back on the internet. I ended up yelling at them for about 15 minutes, and now I pay half what I paid for internet because they realized that they were overcharging me anyway.
That they're stupids?
People tell me that all the time. They're like, oh, you know what my friend does is every time his cable bill is due or every time, like, you know, whatever contract he signed is up, he just calls him and tells him he's thinking about switching and they give him some discount.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, what are you telling me? He's like, well, you should do that. It's like, I don't feel like I need to, like, do some song and dance grift every time I'm signing up a cable bill. I'm okay with paying for this.
Yeah, exactly. I'm on board with the service. I have agreed to these terms. It's not like I don't get better channels if I'm like, hey, I got this half off. All right. I mean, it's cool when it happens. Like, it's cool when they make good on something where they've been messing up this entire time. And like, hey, listen, we're stupid. we're going to charge you less. But yeah, I have those same kind of friends where it's like, yeah, I told them I was going to quit. I wasn't going to. Then, you know, they totally called my bluff or whatever.
Katie Sicking Now just tweeted at us and she says, boy, I really hope that Time Warner Cable guy was Irish. Hashtag IRA. I don't know what that means.
She's drunk.
There's actually a guy named Bruno who carries Oscar around. Oh, this is a...
It's Oscar's bodyguard.
Yes, this is from Laura, who just tweeted at us. And Bruno the Trash Man? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, look at that.
I've never seen that guy before. Not even in, like, the little Sesame Street books that they used to have at the grocery store. I've never seen that guy.
Yeah, he hauls Oscar everywhere around. I guess he was, like, his chauffeur. But I guess he's a garbage man, so nothing like a chauffeur.
What a thankless job to haul a grouch around.
Like, yeah, David, that guy's job sucks.
No, I mean, but like, man.
But man, Oscar, you been around that guy? He's charismatic.
Uh-huh.
He had those kids there sitting around like wearing the trash can hats, like hanging off his every word.
Right. But that
guy's like a David Koresh.
Ooh, very charismatic.
Yes.
He's the wacko from Waco. But what I'm saying is, Bruno, he is a garbage man by trade. Yes, he's got a job to do, but somehow he got corralled into not doing his job, instead schlepping this grouch around.
He's like a dirty cop.
How is he like a dirty cop?
Because what you just said, he's like on Oscar's payroll.
Oh, I see.
Bruno's like, hey, look, you do what you want, Oscar. I just want to get my beak wet. I'm guessing Bruno business name probably sounds like this or something.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. Whatever.
Hey, let's try that line again.
Nope. We're fine.
Okay. That's fine.
I just want a taste. I'm not greedy.
What was I just gonna
You were
say?
Talking about your cable stuff, which I as well have had that same situation where I was talking on the phone ordering cable and the lady was like, I agreed to this deal. And she was like, how about you jump up one more level and it'll cost you this? And I was like, all right, sounds good. And then she kept talking. Mm-hmm. And I was like so sick of it. I was like, no. Like, she like talked herself out of the sale.
Yeah, that's great too.
Monsters.
The shame of it all is I've never had a problem with my cable. I've never really had any sort of customer service problems ever. Like, people talk mess about the phone company that I use, and people talk mess about the cable company I use, but I've never had problems with them, ever, ever, ever. And so now that I'm having these problems, I'm like, what else are they hiding from me? Like, what other problems are they causing for me? And now I'm like this weird vigilante for service.
We got another tweet. It's from Lean Bean. She says, IRA equals Irish Republican Army. Yeah, duh.
Yeah.
Did we call it something else?
No. You said, I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that tweet means.
Yeah.
Charlene. That's right. I called you by your first name.
Ooh.
Katie Sicking says, I hate to admit it, but I actually am drunk. Well, join every other person tweeting at us.
Do you hate to admit it?
I hate to admit it.
Yeah. How many people tweet at us sober?
It's definitely the lower percentage of the two.
I wanted to say one more thing.
Yes.
And then we can move on with the show. Mac, what is my greatest fear?
Your greatest fear?
Yes.
Swimming?
No.
Boy, your greatest fear. Is it death?
No. You know what? That was a false start. That has nothing to do with what I'm about to say. Oh, here we go. Let's take a call first.
Okay. Remember the new policy, David. Talk to them.
All right. KOP, you're on the air.
Hey, this is Xerxes. I wanted to call in and apologize for the record straight for last week.
Oh, Xerxes. So, yes, for those who didn't hear last week, you were the one who called in and asked for a moan of silence. On behalf of Gallagher, who was in a coma at the time?
Correct, yeah.
And actually, Xerxes, before you apologize, I'd like to apologize to you. I didn't know you were talking about Gallagher, so I was a little too quick on the trigger. So no need to apologize, sir. It was my fault.
All right. And now? I wanted to get back in the good graces of a mascot wedding. Just want to say Gallagher was like a big childhood comedic hero. I was overseas for Air Force as a child, and... basically, he was like the only comedian on the whatever the military TV was. So
yeah.
That's how I grew up into comedy. And
well, war is hell. So have you seen him since you were a kid? Like, are you still a fan of Gallagher?
No, I haven't. It was just this nostalgic, you know. Basically, his news thing was the first thing I'd heard of him in years.
Okay, because not to ruin this this tender childhood memory you have of Gallagher.
But he's a monster.
Yes, you are aware that he is now a monster, correct?
I didn't know that.
He's a racist, homophobic monster.
Yes.
Oh. In any case, I mean, can we still have that moment of silence?
No, he's alive. So, but what I was saying is, I mean, because it's one of those things where, you know, someone like you would call up, and again, you are absolved of everything, but for someone to call up and be like, hey, let's have a moment of silence for Gallagher, it sounds like someone who is being silly. So
yeah, I get it now. I get it now. I heard it on the radio, like, as soon as I hung up, and it came off wrong. I just wanted to apologize.
No. We are clean slate. You are in our good graces. But what I would say to you, sir, if you have a free Saturday night or a free Sunday morning, why don't you hit your favorite search engine, look up some recent Google interviews or look up some recent Gallagher interviews and articles, and have yourself a real good time with what he's become.
All right.
All right. Xerxes, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks, man. All
right, bye.
But no, I mean, Cersei's got a good point or whatever, or not necessarily a good point, but, you know, Cersei's point is still valid. The fact that he grew up with this guy.
Oh, absolutely.
And he was a big impact. It doesn't mean you can't be sad over his thing, but you should also probably figure out that, do yourself a favor, find out this guy has become a ghoul.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, it's not O.J. Simpson level where it's like, oh, he was my childhood hero. He did what? But yeah, there is a huge disconnect between this guy who smashes watermelons, this fond memory of your childhood, and just the stuff he does now. Man, oh, man. But, yeah, he's fine.
I was trying to think of this joke. There's this group called, I don't know if they're still around, Metallica.
Yes.
They would cover Metallica songs, and the front man would dress like Gallagher.
Uh-huh.
And he would also do Gallagher jokes in between songs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty funny to laugh at those jokes.
Yeah.
Because they were super racist and stuff. I was trying to remember one, but you know what? It's probably better that I couldn't.
Probably.
Yeah. Actually, I do. Oh, maybe I don't remember it, but okay. And
is he out of the coma now? Do we know?
He's out of the coma.
Oh, good.
Last I heard, he was like sitting upright and telling jokes.
So I better not have a lady doctor. What? I don't have skirt cancer.
That's my Gallagher impression. Enjoy.
That's a pretty good Gallagher impression.
Yeah, it could stand some work.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to work on it.
But yes, Gallagher is okay, everybody. We can break that news now, 4 days after the fact.
Oh, Lean Bean says, whew. I guess I'm referring to the fact that we actually know what the IRA stands for. I thought you were at least that smart. Oh, you're dancing on it.
Man, what is with the people coming at us today? Did you see Dave Justice tweeted at us earlier today?
What did he say?
He said, I'm not going to be able to listen to the show today. But, and he did that little thing where he's like, oh, Mac, good point on the X-Men. David, if you don't like riding the bus, stop riding the bus. Like, I didn't care for that little attitude.
I could talk about the X-Men today, because I was thinking the other day about how, actually last night, Wolverine, you know that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a Canadian super soldier.
Yeah.
I find it easier to believe that there's a man who is almost immortal and has a healing factor than the fact that Canada had a secret super soldier program.
That's good. That's a good bit.
Yeah, thank you. Let's take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break.
Oh, my gosh. I think I said this last year. I had this feeling that, like, dear band, this is during South by Southwest. Oh, I wanted to complain about that. Well, you can do that later.
Yeah.
It was more complaining about complaining. Meta.
Nothing wrong with that.
Anyway, let me get myself together. Dear bands that I am not seeing right now, please don't become my favorite band later. And not that that happened right now. However, I was listening to a song today, and I was like, oh, I really like this. And I found out that they were all over South By. Anyway, this is Tan Lines with their song All of Me off of their track, off the album, excuse me, Mixed Emotions. More Mascot Wedding Show coming up.
Back with more Mascot Wedding Show. My name is David Hatta.
My name is Mac Blake, and we just heard Tan Lines off of their album. Oh, I just closed it. Mixed Emotions.
Oh, sorry.
Here come the Tan Lines?
Yes.
Off their album Mixed Emotions, that was All of Me. And they were in town for South by Southwest, and I did not see them. But yoing.
Are you kidding me? They were everywhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah, actually.
That's how it was the tan lines. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, thank you to our guest, Lance Gilstrap, who was on the show earlier. And now it is time for a segment that is not our idea. I don't want to... Look, I'm sorry. I don't want to sandbag this thing, but our...
Yeah.
We had an agreement with the... We're trying to do more community stuff, mm-hmm. and we did a local promotion with that pizza place used to work at.
Pizza, 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 pizza.
Where people could enter names into a drawing for like a dollar donation to a local charity, and we would pick one out and they'd be on the show.
Right.
And which we know we are excited about that. And we had the winner. Mm-hmm. We have them in here today. Turned out it was got a little different than what we were thinking. He's a kid, actually.
Yes, yes.
Welcome to the show. Hold on. What's the name of the segment again?
The segment is, here we go. It is Sunken Valley Presents. Sunken Valley in the News Today. Here we go. Oh, boy.
Yeah, we need to change
it. We're changing it constantly. We haven't settled on anything yet.
I wish they'd just pick one and make it a lot shorter.
Yeah, Sunken Valley Calendar or something. But it's associate producer Tim's idea, whatever.
But don't worry, we're excited to have you here, Junior. And your name is, of course, welcome to the show, please, Mr. Kevin Trumpet.
Yes.
Hi. Hi.
How old are you, Kevin?
I'm 8.
8 years old. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Did you enter...
Can I stand on this chair?
Yeah, if it makes it easy for you.
It's easier to stand on a chair so I don't have to lift on my tippy toes.
Okay, but you be very careful, all right?
I won't fall, I promise.
You can also just lower the microphone if you want to.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Now,
okay.
Did you enter the drawing or did like your parent enter the drawing?
I talked to my daddy and I said I want to be on a radio and he said he would put 100 tickets inside for the drawing so I would get my name and be on a radio.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Well, that raised a lot of money for charity. So thank you to your dad.
Yeah.
So why you wanted to be on the radio?
I want to be a radio man.
Oh, so you want to be a DJ?
I want to be a radio man.
Okay.
Right. So like us, like me and Mac. You can,
but a real one.
Well, I don't see how we're not real radio men.
You know, like a real radio station, a real radio man.
This is a real radio station.
Yeah, we're on the air right now.
I mean, do you want to get paid for it? Is what you're saying?
Yeah, I want to make money and be a real radio man and have integrity.
Oh well,
all right, we have integrity, Kevin.
Yeah, we have plenty.
Okay.
Did your dad tell you we don't have integrity?
Well, he said that this was a joke and I shouldn't waste my time.
Okay. No, it's not a joke. We take it seriously. We try to put on a good show.
It's just what my dad said. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry,
Kevin.
Kevin, you're a guest on our show. Have you heard the show before?
No, I don't. I don't listen to this kind of radios.
Okay, well, it's a fun show. I think we'll have some fun with you on it.
Do you want to play music or do you want to?
I like to play music. I like to read the news.
Oh.
Okay, that's maybe something on KUT.
Okay,
that's a station that does a little most a good mix of news and music.
So
you have something there.
Yeah, I brought some news to weed, some kids news. I thought
kids
if you guys
news.
maybe I'll really impress you guys and knock your socks off, you guys might want to have me on to do kids news sometimes.
Oh my gosh, okay. Kevin, can I be honest? This is adorable.
This could be very cute.
You're warming my heart, Kevin.
Okay, so let's hear some of your ladies and gentlemen. Here's Kevin Trumpet with some kids news.
Do you want some music, Kevin?
Do you have kids news music?
I can make some. You ready?
Okay, yeah.
Do 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 kids news.
An attorney representing the Florida neighborhood watch captain who fatally shot an unarmed black teenager says he believes that the state stand your ground law applies to the case.
Hey, Kevin, okay. Kevin,
we don't have to hear this. No,
that's real news, Kevin.
Yeah, that's, it's kind of
It's
heavy.
About a kid. He got shot.
I know, we don't.
Yeah.
He got shot by a racist guy.
It's a little heavy duty. I don't know if we want to have that on this show, right?
Yeah,
now.
I mean.
He said an F word.
Okay.
Yeah, he did. He said a lot
on a 911 call.
Right. Yeah, we've all heard the call. We're all very well aware of the story right now.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I'm sorry.
No, I mean, like,
I have a different story.
Okay, is it a little bit lighter than that?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's much wider. It's international kids news.
Okay.
Do you have a different song for that?
Okay, David, do you have a song international?
Do 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 kids news.
Jason Wussel, whose 30-minute video sensation shone a spotlight on Joseph Kony's use of child soldiers in Uganda, was taken by police to a hospital in California last week after suffering what doctors described as a brief psychotic breakdown.
Can I stop you right there?
I didn't get to the juicy stuff about Joseph Kony's invisible children.
No, first of all, it's pronounced Uganda, okay?
I'm sorry, I'm only eight.
I know you're only eight. And I
I'm sorry.
No.
Oh, hey,
Kevin,
hey,
don't cry.
Hey, buddy.
I'm sorry.
Come here. Oh, hey, that's better. I'm sorry. Yeah. But listen, you can't be doing those kinds of news stories on our show. I'm sorry.
I mean, because let's be honest with you. I mean, that kid getting shot. That's a tragedy.
Yeah.
And it's just not kind of the lighthearted entertainment we kind of go for on the show.
Oh. But I like to report on tragedies.
Okay.
Oh.
All right. Well, maybe save that for when you're a real radio man.
A real newsman.
Yeah.
You guys don't do that because you don't have real integrity.
Listen,
you don't care about getting the word out to the people.
No, we care about that stuff, but different subjects. I mean, look, that stuff's covered enough out there. This show's got its own thing. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Can I ask you something, Kevin? Like, how did you get into this type of news? Like, shouldn't you just be talking about like sports or toys or something?
Yeah, when you said kids news, I was thinking about like news from like the playground or like school or something.
No, that would be boring and stupid. No one cares about stuff that the kids really do, like toys and video games and stuff.
Okay.
But don't you care about that stuff?
Well, I care about delivering the word to the people.
Well, that's very admirable, but I just think maybe you should allow yourself time to be a kid, you know?
Do you read these stories to your classmates?
I read them to myself. My classmates are stupid.
Okay. Have you tried to read
them? My classmate is my brother and my sister. I'm homeschooled.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And all right.
My daddy's witch.
Oh, what does your dad do?
What does your dad do?
My dad's retired.
My daddy owns his own company.
Okay. Well, what kind of company does he own? If you don't mind me asking.
Trumpet International.
Trumpet International.
Trumpet International?
Trumpet.
What does Trumpet International do?
They sell men's hair care products.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Trumpet International. You should look into it.
No, I've definitely heard that before.
But you should look into it. It could help you.
Me specifically?
Yeah.
What are you saying, Kevin?
Well, you should probably... I mean, I can't see very well from down here.
Uh-huh.
But I can see at least a little bit of a receding hairline.
Yeah, it's
jeez,
not...
Kevin.
I have some samples in my dad's trunk.
Oh, is he...
Your dad's outside?
No, not my dad. My dad's driver.
Oh, okay.
Hank.
So, all right. Well, tell you what, Kevin. You want to talk after the show about that?
I got somewhere to be.
Cool. Where do you have to be on a Saturday evening?
I got a 7:40 appointment.
For what?
It's grown-up stuff. I don't really want to talk about
it. We can talk about it. I mean, like, can you talk about it on the radio, that sort of thing?
Well, I prefer not to talk about it on the radio because there are people involved that might get in trouble if I talk about it.
Well, look, Kevin, if there's somebody who's getting in trouble, you should probably tell an adult.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really trust grown-ups other than my daddy.
Well, your daddy's a grown-up.
All right, well, why don't you tell your dad then?
Well, but my dad doesn't care.
Okay, well, we care, Kevin. Just tell us.
Yeah.
I saw a guy get murdered.
Oh, my God, Kevin!
Jeez! So what are you doing at 7:30?
I have to go pick up a package. He said if I tell anybody that he will kill me and my brother and my sister.
Oh, my God. Okay, let's just calm down for a second. Let's just calm down.
He broke a bottle, and then he stabbed a bottle into a guy's neck.
All right, we're calling the cops. That's...
Don't, you can't.
No, we have to, Kevin. Kevin, we have to.
No, you can't do it.
Why not?
You can't do it. He is a high-ranking official. And if it gets out, he will be in trouble. What? The S will hit the fan.
All right, well, first of all, you kids shouldn't be talking like that, but...
I'm sorry.
No, look, well, I mean, the police will protect you, okay? Kevin, this burden shouldn't be on you. You're 8 years old.
Yeah. And Kevin, look, hey, don't you want to be a newsman when you grow up? Like, you want to report the facts? This is a part of what being a newsman's all about. You have to get this out to the people.
It's also taking bribes so you don't report the whole story.
Where
you get just enough
that?
Of the story out there, the people will pay you money to protect themselves.
No, that is
where
not...
Where is that coming from, Kevin?
My daddy tells me lots of things. And Hank.
Hank, your driver?
Hank, your driver.
Hank, my dad's driver.
Your driver's actually pounding on the outside door of the studio Okay, he's making that slash line across his throat. He's pointing at us.
Yeah.
All right.
Hank does that a lot. He likes to make funny noises and sounds at people and point at them and say that he will do bad things to them.
Hey.
It's a funny joke.
Yeah, I don't think it's a joke.
I've been through 8 babysitters in the past 4 months.
Oh, my God.
Kevin, can I ask you a question? This murder that you witnessed, was Hank around at this time?
Hank was in the car.
Okay.
I think he was in the car. The car was there.
Okay. So I'm just going to throw this out there. For all we know, Hank might have committed this murder.
Well, let's just...
Hank's
definitely listening, David. Can we just...
I know, but I look.
All right.
The people have a right to know.
It's a joke. I don't... Ah, man, I think it's one of those situations where we just take the money and shut up.
We haven't even been offered money.
Oh, come on. Look at this kid.
Hey, kid.
I'm wearing a suit. How many 8-year-olds do you know wear suits?
I don't know many.
Look, Kev, what do we got to do?
I have a pinky wing.
What do we got to do to make this go away, Kev?
Well, just cram it, you know? Put a sock in it. Don't talk about it anymore.
So is this where we ask? I don't know. It's going to take a lot to get me quiet.
I think that was another hilarious mascot wedding show bit.
That's the ticket. Yeah. It's all a big joke.
Okay. All right. So, Kev.
This
got any more kids news, Kev?
No, I'm all out of stories.
That's
I
good.
Only brought the two.
That's good.
This doesn't feel right. We can't just sit idly by while this... Well, this
you're right. You're right, David. You're right. Sorry. I'm
15
right.
grand to shut up.
Oh, my God.
There we go.
No. No, David. No.
15 grand to shut up. The other choices that Hank takes you for are wide.
That's not our other
Hank
choice.
Hank takes lots of people's for wides. It's probably really fun. They like it so much they never come back.
That's not why what people do when they like things.
Well... But these people, they quit their jobs and go away, and we never hear from them ever again.
Kevin, how many people, if you had to guess, has Hank taken for a ride?
If I had to guess how many people Hank has taken, probably like 100 billion.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, well, like, I mean, are these...
Like 100 bajillion zillion.
Okay, that's impossible. But, I mean, are these people you...
I'm 8 years. I don't have firm grasp on numbers yet.
Well, but you...
That's fair enough. But you offered us 15K
You offered us
15 quick.
Grand, yeah.
It's just that's typically what gets offered.
So this has happened before.
It's to split, by the way. You don't get 15 each.
Oh, then we're definitely not doing it.
That's a jip. I only get 7,500.
Hey, easy, racist. That's not really racist.
This is not a time for jokes, man.
We're just talking about gypsies. Do you know what gypsies are, Kevin?
Yeah.
Okay, that's just checking. Kev, I think here's what we're going to do. I think after the show... You know what? I think we might be getting a little carried away. You're 8 years old. We'll talk to some police, and then you can maybe, you know, we'll just do that. So maybe we'll just hang around afterward, okay?
I just got a text message on my phone. It says to tell these two guys pretending to be real radio men that All right. if they are seen talking to the police, they'll be sweeping with the fishes.
Can I ask you a question? Did it actually use the word guys?
Yeah, I said guys.
Okay. Because it seemed like that word was longer on your phone.
Yeah, well, my phone auto-corrects to kid language.
Okay.
Okay, so it actually...
It was a much longer word, but it changed before I could see it.
Fair enough.
That's a very interesting phone.
Who sent you that text message?
It was my daddy.
Oh, right. That's All right. not...
He's probably listening right now.
Okay, but...
David, how powerful can this guy be? He sells hair care products.
Yeah, he can't be that powerful. I mean, you know. I'm sorry, what's your father's name again?
Ronald Twumpet.
I'm sorry.
Wait, does he go by another name?
By another name?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, most people call him Wano Trumpet.
Does anyone else refer to him something and maybe kiss his hand at the same time?
Oh, yeah. Some people call him Don Trumpet.
I don't like that. I don't like this.
Wow.
I don't like that. That's we're going up against
this
Don.
This is all coming together.
This is Don T, the Brass Don.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, that name sounds very familiar now.
Yeah,
yes, that's
familiar.
The guy.
Yeah. I don't care for this, David.
So all this...
Radio.
Hey, how about this? How about this? How about, do you want your own show? We can give you your own show.
I want my own show.
There's a show after us. Clear Spot just plays ska music.
Yeah.
That could be your show.
You could take
ska
over.
Ska music?
Yeah.
Not interested.
No, you don't have to play ska music. You can just do whatever you want.
I'm not a weefer head. I'm not going to listen to a bunch of ska music.
How do you know this? You're 8 years old.
I'm just saying.
Oh, right. So you're not an 8-year-old is not a fan of ska music.
I'm not a fan of that kind of music.
Okay, that's fine. You can do whatever you want. You can talk, you can play music, you can do whatever.
Okay, well, I can we change the name of the show?
Well, what do you want to call it?
Kevin Show, the number one kid in America, Kevin Show.
Okay, well, tell you what. You talk to the police with us. You tell them everything that you just told us. I mean, because, look, we can't use this because if you say it on the radio, it's not admissible in court.
Right, right, okay.
So, I mean, like, if we talk to the cops, then we can talk about you getting your own show. Is that a deal?
But if you talk to the police, then you guys will go away, and I won't get my own show anymore.
No, because
no one F's with my daddy.
Well, okay, first of all, please, you're 8 years old. Please don't talk like that.
Hey, I got a quick question. Oh, David, you want to ask?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Has your dad ever had a meeting with a police officer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is his name Chief Spelchnik? Has he ever talked to him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Spelchy.
All right.
Oh, you're friends with Chief Spelchnik? Okay.
I know him. He brings me candy sometimes.
All right.
Okay. Does he tell you anything else? Does he just? I don't know.
He scratches my head and says everything will be okay now.
I don't care for that.
Then he usually introduces me to a new babysitter.
Oh, jeez.
All right. That's.
Listen. Well, let me talk to Linda, who hosts the Clear Spot.
Yeah.
Let me try to get you a show, and we can talk to the cops. We can not talk to the cops. We can do whatever you want.
Hooray!
All right. Thanks. Thanks for coming on the show, Kev.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right, Kevin.
Kevin Trumpet, everybody.
Kevin Trumpet.
Yay, me.
Yeah, big. He's a big radio man now. Growing up, made a radio man.
Okay, thanks, Kevin.
Yeah. Bye.
All right, bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Kevin.
Oh my God.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
God, I'm in a pool of sweat right now.
Oh, I am terrified. I don't want to leave the studio now.
I'm so scared.
Never got to the bottom of that murder, though.
You probably shouldn't.
I can't get out of my head.
Don't. You're going to have to get it out of your head.
I have to.
You know what'll get it out of your head? Some music.
Some music, yes.
Only there's actually a music show coming up next. Clear Spot does not play ska music.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Garage rock and other things like that.
That's right. The garagiest of rock, like Candlebox. But first, let's do this whole thing. Whoa. Jeez, we're getting out early.
Yeah, that's right. By the way, folks, if you're listening to this on the podcast, coming up next is an interview with Marvel Editor-in-Chief Axel Alonso. If you're listening to it live, then check the mascotwedding.com for this episode, if that's something that interests you. Hey, thanks to our special guest, Lance Gilstrap,
yes,
for coming on today's show.
Thank you to Lance Gilstrap. Thank you to Kevin Trumpet.
Semi-thanks to Kevin Trumpet.
All the thanks in the world.
Yeah, that's okay. Sorry.
To Kevin Trumpet.
Kevin Trumpet, you can see Lance every Saturday night starting at 10, the Frank Mills and Midnight Society at Cold Town Theater. ColdTownTheater.com for show information about that. MidnightSociety.org? .net?
.com?
I don't think it's a .com. I think it's a .org for more information about that troupe. Oh, also, there's a really exciting thing that Lance is involved with, Austin Sketchfest, which is coming up, and we'll be talking about that, of course, as it gets closer.
Yeah, we'll have him back on the show. It's a Memorial Day weekend. We'll talk all about it. It's fun stuff. You'll want to hear about it. But for more information about Mascot Wedding, including archives of past shows and information about various night jobs and side gigs, you may visit mascotwedding.com. Email us, mascotwedding@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter, @mascotwedding. Do we have any more Twitters?
Oh, let me
see. Any more Twitters? I'm an old man. Hey. All right. We'll be back next week with an all-new Mascot Wedding show. We're going out with Mystery Jets from their album 21. This is Young Love.
Joining me on the phone right now, at New York City, correct?
Correct.
Yes, is the editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics, Mr. Axel Alonso. If you had a favorite comic book in the past 15 years or so, there's a good chance this man's name was on it. He edited titles at Vertigo, such as Preacher and 100 Bullets, before moving over to Marvel Comics, where he oversaw the revamp of the X-Men and Spider-Man lines, and he has now been promoted to editor-in-chief, where under his reign, Marvel has a big event comic coming out, Avengers versus X-Men, and that comes out when?
April 4th.
Axel Alonso on the phone. Very excited to talk to you.
Good to be here.
Oh, thank you. So, how long have you been editor-in-chief? Has it been a year yet?
Yeah, a little more than a year, and I breathed a sigh of relief after about a month on the job because I realized I wouldn't be the first editor-in-chief to be fired, or the most quickly fired editor-in-chief, so
So has there been one that only lasted a month?
Something like that, yeah. A few days, actually, I think. Yeah.
Oh, jeepers.
That was a way back.
Oh, okay, all right. And I remember in interviews when you first took over, you said that, you know, one of your main duties as editor-in-chief is to oversee Marvel's next big event book, and that turned out to be Avengers versus X-Men. And
correct.
It seems like, at this point, like a pretty surefire hit. Were you nervous at all when you were pushing this thing?
Well, you know, we had discussed the possibility of doing Avengers versus X-Men on many occasions. But we had never done it because we'd never had the story. You know, if you're going to take these two big super teams and have them fight, you know, you really got to make sure that you've got your story. And equally important, you got to make sure there's not a good guy and a bad guy. You know, part of the appeal is that you can have the Avengers fans and the X-Men fans. They overlap, but they're also different. You know, have those fans really be able to back their team, you know. So we had that available to us through some subplots we were building in X-Men, and I proposed them at the retreat as the inciting incident and the galvanizing incident that would divide the X-Men and the Avengers across, you know, more or less ideological lines, kind of like you had in Civil War.
One aspect of it, because, like, you know, on paper, if you just look at it, like, Avengers versus X-Men seems like a simple idea. But when you think about it in terms of, and I think this was said in an interview, that this is not something you're going to see on film. And I mean, the idea of, like, you know, if you it's a good bridge into the film audiences too, because, you know, Fox and Marvel aren't gonna just that seems like a contract made from hell to try and get that on the screen and fit in 2.5 hours or whatever it is. So I you know, from that perspective, it's an exciting idea as well, and also the idea that there's gonna be a winner, like you said, mm-hmm. is also enticing because it doesn't feel like a throwaway story.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it wasn't lost on me when I was pushing for it that Avengers versus X-Men resonates on a very basic level with the public. You don't need, you know, to go to a comic store every Wednesday at this point to know who the X-Men are, or the Avengers for that matter, having seen most of those characters in the movie at this point and the trailers for the movie already, you know, in heavy circulation. I think that this is one of those things where we can also reach out to the Cineplex audience. You know, the simplicity, you know, you've already got, it's inherent in Avengers versus X-Men. If there's three words in comics, you know, that are more designed to drive people into comic book stores, I've yet to hear them. So, you know, but the key thing there is if you're going to promise something of this scale, you better be able to back it up. So very early on in the conversation, you know, it became clear that this is an event that's bigger than one writer. Traditionally, we've done events with one writer at the helm, mm-hmm. who's sculpted the story with the input of, you know, of the room, of other writers and the editors. But it's always been one writer. And in this case, you know, it just seemed like it's too big. It has too much scope. It's the first event that's truly Marvel Universe-wide because, for the most part, the X-Men has sat out our big events. You know, Civil War and Secret Invasion, they play tangential roles, if anything. So that's where we workshopped the idea of having five writers, five of our most popular writers who had experience across the line, get together and form a team. And rather than one person claim authorship, have all five workshop the story with the editors and then structure it in a way that each issue would then be owned by one writer who would take that issue and really make it their own. And the results are fantastic. I couldn't be happier.
And that writing team is Jonathan Hickman, Brian Michael Bendis, Matt Fraction, Jason Aaron, and who am I leaving out?
Ed Brubaker.
Ed Brubaker, of course. Is there somebody who's turned a script that has surprised you out of the five?
Let me think. Working off the template, I'd say that the first couple of issues were surprising mainly because there's so much to set up and get onto the table. We pride ourselves in making our events accessible. It's extremely important that, you know, when you pick up issue one, that you understand clearly and succinctly, you know, what the stakes are and who the characters are and what the sides are. And Brian managed to do that. I'd say that probably the first one where I got a real surprise was when Jonathan Hickman turned in his first script. And he had been maybe a little more on the periphery of the conversations, and he came in and found some very interesting nooks and crannies in his script that I hadn't expected. I'm not saying it was a better script. It's just that he had, maybe because he had the benefit of being a little bit on the outside, mm-hmm. he looked at it from an odd angle and found some really interesting moments that yielded great drama for the future.
Now, you mentioned that this is a series that would appeal to people coming out of the Cineplexes. Is there a push to put these comics in places outside of traditional comic book stores, or is that where you see is the digital push filling that void?
Well, a part of that is, of course, the digital push. You know, Marvel, you know, we were quick to embrace digital technology because we realized that it would be this invaluable tool to reach a new audience, you know, a new newsstand, so to speak. But our bread and butter is in print, and our partners are the retailers. It's how we pay our bills.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to move carefully and with them in mind. No one wins if we hard charge into digital and abandon our retail partners. By the same token, we can't be afraid of this technology because it allows us to grow the market, and it allows us, quite frankly, to pay our bills in addition. You know, in recessionary times like this, you know, where people are making hard decisions about how to spend their entertainment dollar, we'd be remiss not to give them options to find a way to get our content. So yeah, you know, digital was the reason we were at South by Southwest. We were there to talk about what we're calling the Marvel Re-Evolution,
mm-hmm.
which is a digital initiative to bring added value content to our comic books. That will make the comic book reading experience richer for anyone who picks up a comic book.
Yeah, some of the augmented reality things you were showing, for instance, if you, you have to download an app first, right?
Yeah, you download an app for free.
And then you,
go ahead. That app, yeah.
Oh, and then if you take a picture of the cover, there's some awesome augmented reality things that I thought was super cool. I haven't actually seen that covered because I went to that event, and then afterward I looked on the news sites, and I was I was surprised that didn't get more publicity because that was super neat.
Yeah,
and then also
I haven't looked myself. I just got back on Monday, but yeah, I mean the augmented reality features they're designed to create added value, just like the special features on a Blu-ray or DVD. They make the comic book reading more immersive. So you know what we'll be offering is making off features. You know, that offer a window into the creation of a comic book page or a scene. We'll have creator commentary, you know, where the writer or the artist talks about the story you're reading or offers, you know, some anecdotal information about the scene or the creative process. We'll have trailers. We previewed one of those at South by Southwest, where we'll have movie trailers that show in a world where blah, 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 where we'll help you if you haven't picked up a comic book before, find some context for the comic book you might be about to read. And, you know, as we unveiled to lots of applause, we had this incredible fun feature where you can hold up your tablet or your iPhone or your Android on an image, a cover, for instance, and have a three-dimensional superhero, in this case Iron Man, literally step out of the page, walk towards you, fly into the sky, then fly back down and land in front of you. And let's just say jaws dropped. When I showed that to my son, Tito, who's 9, he was like, Papa, wow. He'd never seen anything like it.
Yeah, it's pretty. I thought it was super neat. I also thought the way when you would scan a particular spread or a couple pages that you could, I mean, you'd scan the finished art, but then the app would show you from pencils to inks to colors
exactly.
And then the finished thing. And the way you described it, a DVD commentary, I feel like that gets thrown around a lot, but I do feel that this is the extras that you added on with this. I feel that's pretty accurate. I also think thought it was a good way to sort of continue the, if you allow this dumb term, to continue the brand conversation, like mm-hmm. or something. You know, if you buy the comic and you read it, because comics are awesome. They're the best. However, they're not the longest. Doesn't take the longest to read.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And so with this though, you know, it gives you some more entertainment, and also. I have to agree with your son Tito. I'm not going to call you Papa, but I did think that I was like, oh, this is really cool.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things where it's all free, and we're offering it. We're going to try a lot of things. You know, we're not pretending. We'll make mistakes. You know, probably a lot of our initial AR apps and Infinite Comics, which I'll get to in a minute, will look like Pong, you know, in retrospect. You know, to a modern video game person, we look back at Pong and go, what were we thinking? But, you know, it all started somewhere. And I think that, you know, we'll be looking at these AR apps like that at some point in the future, which is that, wow, they were noble efforts, but look how far we've come. You know, segueing to Infinite Comics, one of the other things we're providing.
Awesome segue, by the way.
are these things called Infinite Comics, which are stories that are specifically created for the handheld tablet. You know, in the past, we've done digital comics, but let's face it, it's just been comic books that we took and then we converted to a computer screen, you know, or to a tablet screen.
Mm-hmm.
Here, this is where we created these comics, these stories, with the handheld tablet in mind and with digital tool, fully taking advantage of digital tools. So, you know, what you got is the tablet is sort of like the canvas, and digital technology and the tools of digital technology are like the paintbrush. And once again, you know, our first offering, which is a Nova story by Mark Waid and Stuart Immonen, is fantastic. But as Mark was saying in a recent interview, he just saw some of the layouts for a subsequent Infinite comic book and saw what the artist was doing and was like, and what the writer and artist had agreed to do, and thought, wow, why didn't I think of that? And I think that's exactly what you're going to see as we evolve this new storytelling form, is that we'll continually learn that there's new crayons in the box, so to speak.
Now, one of the things you talked about during the South By presentation was making the most of, like, for instance, the iPad screen or the tablet screen. Is the art sized to those dimensions?
Yeah. Yeah. It's all created with the tablet in mind. So when you read an Infinite comic book, the artist and writer collaborate in a way that they're considering the size of the tablet screen, the placement of panels on that tablet screen, and things like how the reader will turn the page. When you hit the tablet, when you tap the tablet, different images can come up on your screen, so you can have art arrive before balloons, art arrive before captions. You can have a background image onto which is then burned a new image by tapping the tablet. As we showed on the Nova sequence, you've got a sequence where you see Nova flying toward you, and then the same shot of him with the Phoenix flaming behind him, and he blurs out and it comes into focus. So again, it's not quite animation, but it's definitely a different reading experience than print.
Yeah, it definitely is. And one of the things that, when I saw it, I thought that, my concern with this kind of thing, and I say concern like it matters, but sure. But when I saw it, I was like, you know, because the thing that, because some of the comics apps that's right now available, I think one of them says something has like guided view technology, which it takes you to the different panels on a page, but it kind of breaks up that page's composition and de-stresses that. I mean, and true that, you know, if you click on, or not click, but let's say you're touching a tablet and a panel or the image reveals itself to you in thirds to sort of give you a dramatic reveal each time, you know, there is a sense of motion, but there's still that sense of motion that is created like by the artwork itself. And now I've talked myself away from my question, but here's a different one. Mm-hmm. Is there been some concerns when, you know, you mentioned this isn't quite animation, but in balancing the sort of the things that work on paper versus balancing what works in digital? I mean, and I'll be honest with you, when I saw that the artist you had on it was Stuart Immonen, who's fresh off your last event comic, Fear Itself, I was sort of, you know, it was calmed a little bit. I wasn't like bouncing off the walls, but I was like, man, this is a great artist. This guy knows what he's doing. There might be a question in there somewhere.
Well, you know, if you're asking about concerns of blurring the line between comics and animation, we're just aware that they're different mediums. There's limitations that the tablet has, just the same way there's limitations to animation. As an artist, you understand both the strengths and the limitations of the form that you're working within. And one of the strengths of the digital comic book is that the reader still controls the pace of their reading experience.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a passive experience. When you watch animation, you watch a movie, it's a passive experience. You sit back and it happens to you. With a digital comic book, you still turn the page. You still, you know, let's just say you're reading a horror comic book.
Let's say I am.
You're walking down the hallway and you get to the door behind which you know there's something bad waiting. Well, you can decide you want to open that door, you know, 5 seconds later, 5 minutes later, or not at all. You control your experience, and we're going to be working with that. Understanding those advantages will help us create the perfect infinite comic one day.
And I did like what you said, that, you know, it's just because there's like, oh, this is the perfect way to do this. Just because that's not laid out, yeah, that's no reason to not try.
Exactly. No, I'll be the first to say, look, we're going to make mistakes, you know, and we're going to have a lot of fun with these AR apps. You know, I think people will see that we're trying, we're striving. We'll give you a lot of things, and ultimately people will vote for what they like and what they don't like with their dollars. I think that, you know, a letter column in which the editor reads the letters aloud and answers them could be a lot of fun. You know, Stan Lee created the letters columns, you know, decades ago as a feature to create community amongst readers, to engage readers and make them feel welcome and create community. And these AR apps will allow us to do that, you know, on a whole different level.
I think that is fun. Now, let me ask you this. Using your, and maybe this isn't something you're even thinking about, but using your Marvel Super Math and the way trends are going, do you feel that if there's a time that the digital is going to overtake print, or do you have an idea of when that might be, or is that still an if?
No, no. I really don't see, I can't imagine a world in which print comics go away for a lot of different reasons. First of all, I don't think that comic books are anything like music. I, for one, I download all my music, and I don't have any CDs because I don't need the clutter. But there's something very different about sitting down and reading a book than reading a book on your tablet. It's a different type of experience. There are, I firmly believe that there will be books that you need on your bookshelf, that there will be boutique books that you need on your bookshelf, those absolute editions, those larger hardcovers that allow you just to, you know, a different type of reading experience. I also think that, you know, and this is just me, I hardly have a window to the future, is that, you know, at some point down the road, maybe you'll be looking at, you know, more limited editions, print editions of what you call the comic book or the pamphlet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the value of those will only increase because there'll be so far less of those. I think that, or so far less of those print editions. But I think that, for me, the exciting thing about the tablet and media, it allows us to have one more way of getting people to notice the medium that we love. And if you take a look at the initiative Marvel's made, we always do so with the intent of driving those digital consumers into the stores. We are incentivizing them to get to the stores through coupons and discounts and things like that, so that we can find a way to make these two work. We don't view digital and print as being, digital media, print media are complements. They're not competitors. That's the key, is finding a way to make this work in the short term and the long term for everyone.
Can you talk about the other Infinite Comics you have coming up, or is that something you want to keep close to your vest, if you are indeed wearing a vest?
What I can say is we will be providing more Infinite Comics throughout the Avengers versus X-Men event, and that all of the stories will be important stories. They're not tangent stories of no consequence. They're all important. They offer important information about your reading experience. They will feature key characters and foreground characters in the story. There won't be a Howard the Duck story, how Howard the Duck views AVX. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have plenty of them, and we're going to have top talent working on them as well.
Now I want a Howard the Duck story that you just teased.
I knew when I said that, there'll be a show of hands, and we'll have everybody will want to see Howard the Duck fight someone.
Or, I don't know, maybe get murdered and never appear. No. I don't know. He's fine. I don't want anyone mad at me now. But let me ask you this too, and this is a real specific question. But because the artwork is being tailor-made for, let's say, a tablet screen, is that actual artwork smaller than artwork that would appear, the physical, like, you know, drawing? I mean, even if it is, I don't know, is Stuart Immonen doing physical drawing, or is he switched to...
Okay. He's doing it on the board. No, again, just like in the creation of a comic book page, there's no rules that the artist has to adhere to apart from what we call aspect ratio.
Mm-hmm.
So all he needs to know is what eventually that image is, parameters of that image, of that frame, and then he can work whatever size he wants. He can work larger, he can work smaller. Some artists work really big and scan their boards down to fit onto a comic book page, and some work smaller and scan them up. It's always better to work larger, because when you do and you scan down, all those details really, really sharpen up and become crisper. But there's nothing different about the there's no different constraints on an artist working for digital digital tablet than they're doing a comic book, apart from just understanding what the aspect ratio is.
How long were you in town for South by Southwest?
I was there only Saturday through Monday.
Oh, okay. Did you get to see anything else cool?
Yeah, I went and had a burger at Hutt's, and a burger and more than a few beers. I think I had two burgers, onion rings and fries, to an awestruck bartender who didn't think I could do it, and about three or four beers. And then I went for a walk around town. It was nice. I needed some alone time, so I just walked along and, you know, looked at people and all the rest. But Austin's cool. It's fun.
Yeah, when are we going to see Austin in the Marvel Universe? Maybe Scarlet Spider could come down here and murder a couple hipsters.
Exactly, yeah. Well, I think we have Scarlet Spider out in Houston.
Yeah, H-Town, boo.
Maybe he'll make a trip to Austin.
He should. It's cooler here.
Well, I'd never been to Austin before, and my only reference point is that Linklater film Slacker, which I love, but that's dated. That's way old. But I liked it. It was fun. I would definitely like to come out again and spend some more time there. And if you have any recommendations about, you know, hamburger joints or barbecue joints, make sure to let me know, all right?
I definitely do. Well, tell you what, if you don't mind, now that I got you on the phone, I was wondering if I could pitch you some comic ideas.
All right.
Are you ready?
Right.
Okay. So in this one, in order to murder some bad guys, the Punisher has to go undercover at a high school. Okay, you don't like it? That's fine. How about this one? Same plot, but at a Walmart.
Oh, the Walmart. Yeah, well, see, the Walmart would be easier for him to blend in. He could be, you know, in the shipping dock or something like that. I could see that happening. As long as you don't break the cardinal rule and have Frank fall in love, I think you can get away with it. If you wouldn't believe how many times people pitch me a story in which Frank, one of the inciting incidents is that Frank sees someone who reminds him of Maria, falls in love with them, and then goes about doing his rough justice. And I'm like, look, wait a minute, step back. Frank's heart, it's not a heart anymore. It's just a muscle that pumps blood into his body so he can continue to do what he does best, which is kill bad guys. So yes, I think you could make that work.
I like it. All right, how about this one? So it's a team-up, ostensibly, of Spider-Man and the Kool-Aid Man. However, it turns out the Kool-Aid Man is really just a Hydro Man with red food coloring.
Well, this could be difficult because it would have to navigate some legal issues. But assuming we get past those...
Well, you can call it like Cool Drink Man. How about that?
That's right. We could... Yeah, got it. Yeah, actually, good move. You'd be a good editor.
Thank you.
I could see that working. Yeah, you could have variant covers where Kool-Aid Man is different colors and, you know... Yeah, that's not bad.
And here's a free one. Hulk drinks Hydro Man. He just drinks him.
Yeah, that's a one-shot or a short story. Maybe a backup feature.
Fair enough. And here's another. I think this one's got potentials. There's a character called Sleepwalker. And I don't know where in continuity if he's still around or not, but it used to be this guy named Rick Sheridan, who every time he would fall asleep, this being from another dimension, Sleepwalker, would come to Earth and fight crime. So in this one, Rick Sheridan is a narcoleptic dad. And so he ends up falling asleep a lot. And then Sleepwalker not only has to fight crime, he's got to help raise these kids.
Interesting. I got to say, I do like the narcoleptic angle. I if I were working with you on developing a Sleepwalker pitch...
Which I see happening probably, very soon.
I'd probably dig in on the narcolepsy angle and make that part of the hook of the book, that perhaps your what is his name again?
Rick Sheridan. How come I know that you don't?
Yeah, there's a lot I don't know. They'd fire me if they knew how much I didn't. But I think that if you were to have Rick Sheridan have a power, but also have this gift of this power, but also the curse of narcolepsy, that might make for some interesting tension there.
Maybe also his profession is he's a tea tester, and so he has to test a lot of sleepy time tea.
There you go. Nice.
Just
nice.
Knock
as long
him right
as he's
out.
Not, he doesn't have Tourette syndrome.
No, is that a thing?
I might continue this. No. It's just another syndrome I thought I'd throw in there. But see, that's the kind of pitches I normally get.
So what if Spider-Man was bitten by a spider, but that radioactive spider had Tourette's?
That'd be rough.
That'd be rough stuff.
I don't think he would have lasted as long.
Let's not jump to conclusions. I don't want to. Let's not rule anything out.
Spider-Man Max.
There it is. Just call Spider-Max. And here's the last one. I only got the title so far. But Secret Baths.
Secret Bath?
Secret Baths. Just let that out there. Just let it exist.
That's definitely a Max title. I'll tell you that much.
I like it. Axel Alonso, it was super exciting to talk to you.
As well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. And good luck on Avengers vs. X-Men coming up. And for more information about all this jazz, you can go to Marvel.com, correct?
That's right. And it's April 4th, people. Snooze, you lose. It's the biggest event of the last few years.
Thank you very much, sir. You have a good day.
You too. Bye.
And that was a great interview with, who was that, Mac?
Axel Alonso, editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics. And by the way, thank you to Ann Hinshaw at DKC Public Relations for setting that up. It took a couple of attempts, to get Axel in that interview, but she's very generous. So thank you.
Yeah, and that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of that was really cool, and I'm really glad we got that interview. Let's take care of some business, I guess.
But yeah, for podcast listeners, yes, please stay tuned with the show.
You know the spiel. For more information about Mascot Wedding, including archives of past shows and information about various night jobs and side gigs, keep doing what you're doing. We're at mascotwedding.com. We're on Twitter at Mascot Wedding. We're on Facebook.
Also, something very exciting that we don't usually get a chance to talk about on the show too much is that David and I co-host a live variety show.
That's right. Yeah. Out of the way, co-op. We're going to start plugging shit. We're also going to say shit.
Yo, we can swear because we're just spooking me out, though. For folks in Austin.
That's right. For folks in Austin, the second Thursday of every month, Mac and I host a variety show called The Hustle Show. We do it at Old Town Theater right there off of Airport between 49th and 48th in that area. It's a lot of fun. It's sketch. It's stand-up. It's a blast. And that's the second Thursday of every month at Old Town Theater. Check us out. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter also. It's The Hustle Show.
And, of course, David and I are also in a sketch comedy group called Stag Comedy. Stagcomedy.com has got a bunch of funny videos from that project. If you want to check that out, please do. Super funny.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot. Goodbye, David.
Goodbye, Mac.
Oh, no. We're falling down a well.
No.